It's the first time for us to gather and worship since the beginning of the new year, 2018. We're thankful for that opportunity. And as many of us have announced, we are thankful for the heat wave we're currently experiencing, that we have degree temperatures that are in the positive, not in the negative. So we're thankful for the small miracles of it getting a tad bit warmer. And we just we pray for those that are experiencing some hardship because of the weather. Again, welcome, and we do have our gentleman in the corners there with the microphone, so please just raise your hand if you need a microphone to share with us a moment of joy or a prayer concern that you may have for us today as we gather together as the body of Christ.
If we could have prayers, please, for the Walt Horst family. Walt passed away yesterday.
For Walt. Anyone else?
We'd like prayers for our friend in St. Clair. She's been diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. Her name is Marlene Eisen.
And what was the last name, Marlene?
Marlene Eisen.
Eisen. We're speaking of St. Clair before we move on to anyone else there. That area is really experiencing some difficulty because of the ice and the cold and some damage that's already happened there and will continue to happen as things continue to melt whenever that happens. So let's just lift them up, our neighbors and district fellows down the road. Anyone else?
Yeah, prayers for Lori Pries. Wayne passed away.
Yes, yes. Yes, we found out about after the bulletins were printed, it's supposed to be a couple of weeks that the service will be held, so we'll have that next week for the details, everybody. But yes, Lori wanted us to feel free to reach out if we'd like to as we acknowledge that Wayne passed. Anyone else? No? Any moments of joy is that we survived the holiday schedule. Would you agree? A lot of us had many things on our plates, and I'm aware that some of us might still have a few lingering holiday commitments that are still out there with scheduling and family from out of town, so we're thankful for that and look forward to 2018. Anyone else?
Well, I have a joy because I have a new acquaintance friend, Amy Miller, and we just made our acquaintance, and I invited her to come to church with me today, and here she is. And she knows some of y'all here, so that's really nice. And she's from right here in Sandusky.
All right, well, welcome this morning. Thank you for coming. All right. Well, as a fellow y'all, it's good to be known. So thank you for coming today, and hopefully we have an opportunity to visit with you a little bit before we depart today. Although before we depart, just a couple of quick things, even though we haven't totally moved to announcements yet, maybe we'll transition there. We do have our birthday celebration potluck that we're starting this month, so you're invited to stay after, and there is a very special table, and I've already seen it, that's designated for January birthdays. So if you have a January birthday, you have a special table, and I believe early access to what will be dessert this time around. So please feel free to stay for that, as we won't be having our normal fellowship time after service. So that'll be down the Wesley Hall. Anyone else?
Two things. First, I see that Lentinel devotional sign-up's going around, and mine's the first or only name on it. It better not be. I'm teasing. I am going to mention forgiveness, though. Several weeks, almost months ago now, time passed, and I was right up here at the altar when Pastor Matt had a laying of hands, and I don't know why I went there, but I did, and he brought it back. And I got thinking about it, and out of all the places to think about it, I was in the bottom of the Grand Canyon when I kind of put it all together, probably wondering what I was doing there, what venture my wife got me on this time. But I got thinking about forgiveness, and somehow I related it to the Lord's Prayer. And there is a passage in there, and it says, forgive us our trespasses, ours, not theirs, ours. And we truly have to forgive ours if we're going to forgive theirs. So what I want you to do when we say it today, say it with some gusto, because if you're over 40, you probably said it over 30,000 times already in your lifetime, but did you ever really mean it? Mm. And that's what I'm trying to drive home here. You got to mean it in order to live it. Thank you.
So for those of you, that's a powerful piece for us, Gary. Thank you so much for bringing that forward. For those of you who are really close to Deb, that means the next time she asks Gary to do something, there will become, it'll be a spiritual experience, so just go and don't ask questions. So it leads into a little cred for her, too, to put you on some of these journeys. Thank you for sharing that with us. It's just like our sharing our stories, when we have a personal testimony that brings things together for us, we're always thankful for that. Thank you. Anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that aren't printed? No? Okay. Also, then, do we have any birthdays we're celebrating this week? Two? Both of you? Just one? Okay. Oh, it's neither one of you. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Tracy, it's your birthday. Yeah, right. So at the benediction time, just form a line and just already start heading down there. So Tracy, it'll be when's your birthday?
Tomorrow.
Wow, right there. Hey, I like that. Anybody else sharing a birthday this week with Tracy? Scarlett's birthday was last Monday. Yep, first of the year. Hard to forget it. We turn the calendar, it's like a reminder. So Tracy, she's a little bit younger than you. She hit the five, so a little bit. Anyone else? Okay, can we sing happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
What about any January anniversaries? Do we have any January anniversaries? Anybody ring in the new year with an anniversary? No? Okay. Well, let us go ahead and start our service today, as we are so thankful for our choir to be with us today and will lead us in setting the opportunity for us to begin worship. As we are reminded of that truth, that surely we are not alone, the Lord is in this place. Would you please join me for our opening prayer and asking for the Lord's blessing on our gathering and worship today? Almighty God, in this new year 2018, we submit ourselves humbly in worship, Lord, to your direction, your guidance for us as individuals and in the life of the church, Lord, to lead us boldly where we need to go, where you would have us. Lord, to listen to the nudges you place on our hearts to get us to those places, as some of them may be unfamiliar to us. Lord, we just ask for the comfort and the strength of your surrounding Holy Spirit to not only lead us through this hour of worship together, Lord, but to plant seeds in where our feet will take us the rest of this day, the rest of this week, and surely the rest of this year. Lord, allow us to see with your eyes and to feel with your heart. In Christ's powerful and majestic name we pray. Amen. All right. Could we please stand if we're able today, and we'll sing a song of the day called 254, We Three Kings. Again, if you're able, please stand. 254, We Three Kings. Amen. You may be seated. As we find our seats, we will continue with the songs of the season as we move on. As we find our seats, 219, What Child Is This? Amen. A great song of our season and our faith. As we move on, do we have children today? I think we have a couple that are around. So can we have our children come up today as we continue our tradition of having our children come up for children's time before Sunday school so we can have a little bit of time carved out for us together to celebrate your presence with us, right? We're celebrating all our kids with us, but also to have a moment to connect before we move on to your Sunday school lesson. How many of you have any more Christmas celebrations that you need to do with families? Anybody know anything? Do you have anything else that you're looking forward to? Yeah? Well, you all started school this week, right? Did any of you not start school this week? Maybe some of you gave presents to your teachers? Were they pretty excited to see their presents? Excellent. Yeah? Oh, yeah, absolutely you can make something for your friends. It's nice to be thought of, isn't it? Like a snowflake. Whoa. Did you give a snowflake? Well, what happened? Did it melt and get all over? Oh, it looked like a snowflake. Oh, okay. I thought, oh, boy. Yeah. Although, it's kind of cold enough, it might not have melted though, huh? But you made a plastic one to look really neat because they could hang it up? Just a paper? That's pretty neat. Did you have to cut it with scissors? Oh boy, that's the hardest part, isn't it? Fold it into a square first, that's the first step. I think that's a pretty good project, isn't it? It's pretty nice because you can bring it out all the time, put the date on it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a candle holder, right? That's an amazing thing. It's not just a decoration. Mm-hmm. That shape? You know what's interesting is that today we talk a lot about gifts, don't we? Does anybody know what today is that we celebrate today? It's not as common as some of those big holidays, but have any of you... Nope, that was a little bit ago. It's a season for that, but this is called Epiphany Sunday. I know, that's a long one, isn't it? We don't usually say that a whole lot, like, hi, how are you, Epiphany? You've heard it before. Well, you know, today is the day that we are reminded in Scripture, what some of the adults are going to talk about a little bit after you go down to Sunday school, is that there were gifts that were presented that we just sang about in some of those songs. Did you hear us sing about gold, incense, or frankincense, and myrrh? Did you hear about that when we were singing those songs? It's reminded that this is when those gifts were presented to baby Jesus, right? And baby Jesus wasn't even big enough to really probably hold those gifts, so Mary and Joseph had to hold onto those for him. Isn't that interesting? And so when we think about some of those gifts that you said you shared with your teachers and your friends, isn't it amazing that whatever gifts we have, when they come out of love for us and honoring our friends or our teachers, isn't that amazing that it doesn't always have to be something really expensive? It can be, right? It can be expensive. It can cost a lot. But even if it's something that we make homemade, how many of you have ever gave something that you made yourself to someone you love, and it meant so much to them, even though it didn't cost a lot of money? Yeah? Right? Those are sometimes the best gifts. That's right. That's right. Well, how about we ask some of the adults out here just to kind of make sure it's not just with us, that it's kind of the norm. How many of you, can we look out to them? Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever received a homemade gift from someone that you love, and it meant sometimes more than a gift they bought at the store? Could you just raise your hands to let us know if it... That's a lot of people, isn't it? So it's not just for you. Right? And you probably appreciate that because you can't just get that at the store. That was from you to him. That's right, right? Because it comes from the heart. That's right. So we're thankful for those things. We're thankful for those gifts. But before we go downstairs today, right? It's January. It's a new month, right? So we have a new scripture verse that we're going to try to memorize, okay? And so if you can see on the screen, can anybody read that from here? Can you read that from here?
When I am afraid, I will trust in you.
One more time. That was pretty quick.
When I am afraid, I will trust in you.
You guys think we can memorize that? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, it's good, but it's kind of simple. Can we try it together? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. And that comes from the book of Psalm. Isn't that interesting? You know, can we try that in Sunday school? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. And that's pretty good, isn't it? Because sometimes, even if it's not just scary dark stuff or scary sound stuff, sometimes if we just don't know the answer, how many times has somebody asked you, or your teacher asked you a question, and you didn't know the answer? Did you ever feel afraid? I know I did. I didn't want the teacher to ask me because I didn't know the answer. And all times when we're afraid, we can look towards God and trust in God that He won't leave us alone. All right, can we do that? Can we go ahead and pray together for our 2018 time with our Sunday school together and for our worship? Can we do that? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes and fold our hands. And would you guys say these words after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for last year. We look forward to this year. Thank you for the homemade gifts that we get and receive, that we give and receive. Please bless our time in Sunday school today. Bless everyone gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, can we go ahead and stand together and get in our rank line, one behind one another? And Miss Erin, Miss Erin has it right now. She has it. And so when you line up, I think she will probably... That wasn't a frustration thing, was it? That was a... So as the children go down, for all of us, dear friends, as the children are going down, when we think of that moment, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. As the kids go down, we're reminded of what sometimes a fear can look like. How many of you realized a fear that you might not have ever known existed once you became a parent? Kind of a new set of fear there, isn't there? That there's just, you freak out about everything sometimes and those kind of moments. That we would trust God in all the things we don't know. This is our first Sunday of worship in 2018. Would you agree that there are a lot of unknown things that could lead us into a state of fear for the 51 weeks that we have ahead of us in 2018? Would we be willing to put those 51 weeks, today, tomorrow, and the days in coming, to trust in the Lord and have that fear taken away from us. When we think about things that we have in the life of our church, I wanted to separate this time for Linda. You had something you wanted to bring to our attention today, but it's more of an announcement. It's more important than that. It's part of our story and our legacy. Would you share with us a little bit about the booklets?
It's getting to be time for those of us who really enjoy starting out Lent with the Shrove Tuesday pancake supper and Ash Wednesday service and getting Lenten devotionals to read. How many of you have ever read one of the Lenten devotionals put out by this church? If people in this congregation don't write a devotional, a God moment in their life, we don't have those to share with each other. We're getting a little bit of a late start this year, and that's especially scary because we have a very early Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, and Easter this year. And so in the attendance bulletin, booklets, as Gary already told us in his announcements, the sign-ups are just going around this Sunday to get a start on people to sign up to write, to commit themselves to write a devotional. The deadline is going to have to be March 31st in order to get all the ducks in a row to get them available by the beginning of Lent. Next Sunday, we're going to have copies of some of the previous ones going around the congregation. Particularly, we're going to send around the oldest one we can find, and then we're going to send around the one that was written 20 years ago in 1998, and then a couple of others. Just for people, newer people in the congregation who aren't familiar with what they're all about, they're written on the pattern of upper room type devotionals. Kind of, we look for one page devotional sharing just how God has been working in your life or those around you. And so it's due by January 31st. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yep, just in time for Easter.
I'm sorry. Yep, January 31st, the end of January, so we can get them out by the beginning. Thank you for catching me on that. And so don't be afraid to put your name down, but be thinking about some way that God has been working in your life, either this year or previous years or sometime, how you see God in your life. For many of us, it's right here in this sanctuary with this congregation, telling each other about how God is working in our lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, and that's definitely a passion that you share with a few of the other folks that help put those together. And Bob, last week you made an announcement for us about the daily devotions. That seems like it'd be a great time when we're doing our daily devotions to maybe put our pen or pencil to some paper and think about, hey, in this moment, in this state of prayer, when we're thanking God for the day and starting off, we can think of something to write down to share our stories. My dear friends, I would like to submit this to you because, as Linda already mentioned, it's less than a month. Less than a month to get these things together and a hard effort it's going to take to put this together. Could I submit to you the word priority? This is important. And the legacy grows more rich with every year that we participate. Just as Russ shared last week when his sharing our stories, is that it becomes something more the more we invest in it. Our priorities, that might not sound like a lot of time. Three, 4 weeks. Could we take a moment for one page of how the Lord is at work in our lives? I think we can. I think we can do that. Can we please be in prayerful opportunity and response for the Lord to lay something on our hearts if we're not immediately aware of it, to offer that for the Lenten devotionals? Okay, at this time, I don't think we do have a slide for it? Fantastic. Okay, if you need to flip along into the bulletin the hymnal, our reading is going to be the Epiphany reading from page 255. If you'd like to follow along in the hymnal, have it a little bit closer. If not, it is on the screen. This is a reading for us to say together on page 255 or on the screen. Can we please say together as one body and one voice? O God, you have made of one blood all nations, and by a star in the east revealed to all peoples him whose name is Emmanuel. Enable us to know your presence with us, so to proclaim his unsearchable riches, that all may come to his light and bow before the brightness of his rising, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. In this moment, when we read the richness of this gospel account, this powerful day in the life of our rich Christian heritage, can we please join together and could we call back to the words that Gary lifted up for us today when we're saying the Lord's Prayer, that the Lord's Prayer is inspired by the words that Christ gave us in the Gospels, but also there is work to be done, not to be empty words of this prayer. Could you please join me in saying this as is our tradition, as one body in one voice together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we're thankful for the response there and also the anthem that will come forward from us. Do we have any introduction to that? All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
there can never be enough anointing, there can never be enough preparation, there can never be enough setting for us to prepare ourselves when the table is set before us of communion to take of the bread and the cup. Thank you for continuing to help us prepare a place for the opportunity for us as a body to take communion together at the Eucharist table. As the choir finds their seats, there's an opportunity today for us to look at the season of Epiphany, that's today, and the scripture that awaits us from the gospel account according to Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. So we take a look at this scripture. There's a lot of things that we can pull apart from this section of scripture today. And so as the week progressed itself and even the times through, there was a lot of studying on this scripture, whether you've taken a look at this scripture in depth yourself or maybe just familiar with our calendar year as we attack that together. But this has counts the visit from the wise men or the magi or the kings or the astrologers, whatever name we would assign to them. And so all of them have slivers and partial truths and perhaps to them, but not all completely correct. But we want to take a look at the 12 verses of the first or the second chapter of Matthew, and this will be the scripture for us today. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard of this, he became frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, verse 4. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he then inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." Verse 6. "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea." For from you shall come a ruler who is my shepherd to the people of Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Verse 8. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying this, "Go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they then set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over a place where the child then was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down to pay him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And finally, in verse 12, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to King Herod, they left for their country to go home by another road." As we've already stated many times, it's common knowledge to us, this is the first time we gather together for worship in the new year, the year of our Lord 2018. And so there's a lot ahead of us. There's a lot more ahead of us than there's behind us. Would you agree? There's a lot of work to be done as individuals and as a collective body, as the church, that we will be called to complete in the year 2018. More work ahead of us. My question to you to submit amongst all these discussions today for the message is, what are we as individuals and as the church, what are we offering up to God out of gratitude and thankfulness for the gift of the Christ child, the Savior of this world, of grace? What are we offering up to God? It's a response. And for the most part, I will probably use magi for most of these descriptors on here because it's interesting in these moments that there are so many things literally that we pull and we put inside this account, and sometimes it becomes a story when we add things in here, which is fine. But I didn't want to pull apart some of the specifics on here, whether the names or the monikers of some of these kings or wise men or astrologers, scientists, magi. But what I really wanted us to focus on today The title of the message is Offering. What do we see from this? What's the overall arcing theme here? Because we've already discussed the shepherds, right? We discussed the third shift, midnight shift shepherds, right? The literal poor, right? The outskirts, the career that wasn't really well thought of, and whose testimony had to have garnered a lot of attention because normally they wouldn't be given a community voice. But now here we have foreigners to this place. Now remember, these weren't Jewish folks. These weren't people of Jerusalem. It's even interesting when we take a look at these, and especially some different translations show that even though these magi, this group, were trained in how to identify the stars and their paths, or astrologers, they still kind of got lost in this foreign land, right? They stopped over to Herod and was asking, making sure they were in the right place. So it's interesting that we realize this came from the Far East, and so historically, we're looking at this being sort of a Persian atmosphere from the Far East, and they would look different, they would talk different, and you would probably know on sight that this person wasn't from your community. I guess I would take an illustration for those of you who may have went away to college or have a relative or a child or something like that goes to college. Let's just take one of those large universities. We'll take Kevin's favorite in Ann Arbor, right? That one over? No, I'm just kidding. So let's just say we have one of those big universities, okay? Now, it's the same professors, right? If you're in the same degree program, right? You're going to have the same professors. You're going to have the same line of teaching. But it's so diverse, right? That there's all these different cultures and communities that are represented there, to where even though these students are getting the same education, the same path, right, the literal same assignments, and they have to come up with the same answers. But if you sat down and had lunch with them, you wouldn't just see that same path, right? They would all have unique and diverse backgrounds that would help shape who they are. Some people might look different than us. Some people might talk differently than us. How many times have you heard someone who's talked a little funny, and it was them that clearly talked funny, not us, right? And it's not even a different continent. Sometimes it's just a few states south, right, or north, that they talk funny. And it's in that moment where I wonder to myself, how does that change, right? How does that change when we understand that there was a lot of caution? There was a lot of mystery, because we find out in this moment that there's no mention of a manger. It says the home that they encountered and they followed the star, Jesus was there with his mother. So they came to this place where they were staying, and there's this moment where I think we can appreciate what happens when someone looks different from you. Now, we don't know exactly how many there are, but there are at least more than one, right? If they came to your door, they look different than you, they dress different than you, and they wanted to come into your house that you don't know, and they don't have the birthday shower invitation with them, and they want to see your baby. Whoa. But they come in. So here's that moment where they sound different, they look different, and would you agree that sometimes, especially when, if you've ever known anyone who's got a very high education, I don't want to pigeonhole anybody here, but sometimes if you're talking to someone who's had just this vast amount of education, sometimes they can talk a little bit above some of us sometimes, right? And I'm not saying that they mean to. For instance, I love my brother-in-law. He's a big goof. But when he gets talking about his earth science and rocks, I am just glazed over. I want to care more. I just don't get it. But it's just we transition from, ooh, rock, I like, to some long word I can't explain and can't spell. And those are those moments where somewhere in there, his education, it talks beyond me, right? And so these moments of, again, so we've all experienced that. So here's this moment when we have these magi, these educated but in a different way, in a different land, by a different government, trained in this way, I wonder if they said some things that maybe Mary or Joseph, or if they were staying with anyone, maybe didn't understand. I wanted to put that out there because in 2018, we might have some experiences before us that we don't quite understand. And we can't see or comprehend exactly what we're being told or what we're walking through or how we're supposed to continue to go on. And I submit that to you because, as we checked with the kids, that can bring a little anxiety. That can breed a little fear if we let it. I can't see where this is going. I can't see what's going on outside, but I know I'm going to have to go out there pretty soon. Dear friends, it's one of those moments where, would you agree that God asks first for our faithfulness to trust God before anything will be revealed to us? That's the challenge of our faith. And in these moments, it's interesting because the Magi, they weren't necessarily faithful Jewish community, right? They weren't coming by Jerusalem because this was part of one of their pilgrimages. They followed this star. And so I submit to you in this moment, let us appreciate God's outstretched arms, the lengths in which God was going to provide this good news to all ends of the earth. Remember, it wasn't just the faithful at this moment. It wasn't just the chosen people. God was reaching to unfaithful, right, or untraditionally, unchosen, was reaching out and revealing to them something was happening here. The Savior of this world was being born and drew them out to this long journey so all ends of the earth people would come to know the good news and salvation of Christ. And so when we look at this good news, we're reminded together that God can and God will use curiosity. God can and will use unconventional means to reveal parts of God's plan to us. God can and will use non-believers. Oh, let me say that again just in case maybe it didn't register. God can and will use unbelievers in his unique way. God can and will use brokenness and those poor in spirit to reveal his plan to us. The approach of Epiphany today, as I submitted for us, is that we all need to, I don't want to say expect the unexpected, but to expect something. Right, we come here expecting something. Some of you have got the scripture that we're taking a look at, or maybe the season, or maybe we've chatted a little bit about what's going to happen. But not just the message, but some of us, we come here expecting something. We invite the Holy Spirit to have a work within us. Something unique will be happening. We need to expect that. But for this entire year, none of us can forecast what will happen in our individual lives, the life of this community, the life of this church. But we can expect God to do something on purpose. We can expect God to do something unique. We can expect God to show up and not phone in 2018. Would you agree that's the God we serve? As one that is intentional and personal in our lives. God can and will work through us. God can and will work in us. And God can and will work around us in the year 2018. My question to us all together, I say to you, but to myself as well, what are we offering to God in a sincere spirit of gratitude, thanksgiving, for all that we have received from the gift, the well of grace that never runs dry? As we prepare for communion, as we transition there in a moment, I would like to ask again this question of us. What are we offering to God as a response for all that God has done, is doing right now, and will continue to do in our lives, in our church, in our world? What will the today and the next 51 weeks of this year look like? Because the visit came here in this moment. They came from far places and unconventional means. Not for a pilgrimage, not for a conference, not for an event, not for a parade. They came to pay homage to the Savior of this world, even if they didn't fully understand who they were receiving. Those nudges, we've talked about them several times. Are we listening to the nudges? Because the Lord will speak to us and will honor those moments. My dear friends, as individuals, as a church, as a community, are we praying for nudges? I want a nudge. Do you want a nudge? I mean, do you want a nudge for your spirit? Do you want something to be revealed to you that's not our own idea or epiphany, but it's revealed to us? A nudge from God. Dear friends, I want that. I want that for me. I want that for you. I really want that for us. Because when we listen to those nudges, it's by God's power and might that we will follow through with those nudges. It's by God's wisdom and mercy that we will be able to meet each other in this world where God has placed them. In us, through us, and around us. Now, just to set things aside, next week, I would ask you to go over this scripture again because we're going to be looking at the actual gifts, the frankincense, gold, and myrrh that were presented and why those reveal so much about the Christ child. So next week, we'll be looking at the same scripture, but a little bit more in depth into the actual gifts of the offering. But in this moment, when we transition to the open table, do this in remembrance of me. I would like to ask something before we go into some of our normal traditional words of the Eucharist table. Now, whether we've had the bread prepared for us, what do we see here? Anybody help me out? Anybody see that we have? How do we know that we have enough for everyone? How do we make sure that we won't run out? Because we cut them in pieces, right? Intinction is normally how we would do that, but normally we would take from the bread and we would tear it off, right? And we encourage you to take a big old hunk, right? Because you'd rather have the bread in there instead of having a fistful of fingernails, right? But we cut them into pieces so everyone would have enough and it would be big enough for you to take. But would you agree that if you were to set a meal, or, okay, better yet, today, when we go downstairs, for those of us that are staying for the potluck meal, would you agree that if you had this laid before you, I might be wondering how I'm going to get full. Would you agree? If everybody gets a piece. Some of you, whether it's been in this church or a different setting, have actually torn the bread. There's no measure. You can get any sort of piece off of there that you want, right? Shapes that aren't even defined to us. I say this because overall, when we're thinking of what are we offering to God in response to unending grace and mercy, we're asked to remember Christ's sacrifice to us by just having a piece, right? We don't all get a loaf of bread for communion. We get a piece. To some of our tables, this would be considered a crumb. But a piece is enough. God can change and will save lives and reveal to us truths of revelation with just a piece, just a crumb of trust and faithfulness. My dear friends, when we come up to the table today and we take our crumb, we take our piece, could we remember that a crumb and a piece from the table of Christ of salvation, it is enough, and it will always be enough. Can we remember in that same light that what we receive on our crumb, on our piece, we will have but a drop of the cup of salvation. We will be stained with just a bit, just enough. Do you agree and realize that God can and will work with even a drop on our soul of faithfulness and belief and willingness to walk through 2018 with a renewed spirit and trust in God? Because on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, when the hours of his freedom were quickly running out, he sat at the table that represented the, path, the journey of God's chosen people, the provision of God. He asked for blessing to be upon the bread before them. And when it was received, Jesus then broke the bread before them, and he said, "Take and eat this. And every time that you do, remember my broken body that would be given to you without reserve, without hesitation. Each time you take of this meal, each time we gather, would you remember when you take this piece, this crumb, that my body was shattered and broken because I took your place as the price of sin." At the close of the meal, Jesus took the cup of suffering, the fourth cup of this meal, and he asked for God's blessing on it. When it was received before those whom he loved, Jesus said, "This is the seal and promise of my new covenant, this holy promise and agreement between us, that as often as you take of this, would you be remembered of my innocent blood that was spilt and poured out for you as a symbol, as a sign that I will mark you as I mark the ground in which this blood spilled. As often as you take of this, even if it is just a drop, let this stain your soul. Would you be claimed as mine? Would you live for me and be covered in a grace that is never washed away?" Now, I have to be humbled even more so before communion because I made a folly this week. Russ has done such a great job of organizing our communion stewards throughout the year that I had forgotten that January it was back on my shift to do these things. And so could I please have three people that would be willing to help me out today? I apologize for the lack of smooth transition, but if I could just get three people to help us out, that would be fantastic. Russ, you did such a good job for so long. And as so as we have a couple of communion stewards to help, let me remind us as we come forward that because we are here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table. And what that means is that there is no process, there is no form, there is no commitment that you need to sign away in this moment. If you feel led when the table is open to come forward and receive and remember and to trust God with our future, to come with holy hands, to come in this moment when we can take and receive this crumb and this piece and to be stained by the blood of the Lamb, then please come forward. We have an open table. It is now open. The ushers will dismiss you as you come forward. There will be some songs provided if you'd like to sing along for us today so we don't have silence. Has anyone not been able to receive the elements that we could come to you? All right, my dear friends, as we continue to think of what do we offer to God in thanksgiving and in gratitude, this is part of our response. We ask our ushers to come forward as we give our tithes and our offerings. This is but a portion of the blessings that the Lord has already given to us. Please stand. Lord, from these gifts that have been regifted, Lord, we ask that you would take joy in the sacrifices that were made, Lord. Bless the houses from which they came, and that they would be enough for 2018 going forward in the ministry of this church. In Christ's powerful and matchless name we pray, amen. All right, for time purposes, we are going to sing just the first and last verse, okay? So just two verses, the first and last verse there of the first Noel. Number 245, the first and last verse.
Thank you.
Let us go forward twofold. One, we will have a benediction in sending, but we will also have a grace for the meal we are about to receive. So when we're dismissed, you may go ahead and go downstairs after Tracy for the meal. Almighty God, as we give this time back to you, Lord, we ask that you would take joy upon all that was said and done here in this place. And we trust that you are working in us, through us, and around us. That you will work on purpose in the life of us, this church, and this community in 2018, Lord. And would you have it put on our hearts? What are you asking for us as an offering in 2018? So that you will be shown our gratitude and thankfulness for the gift that saves our lives. Could we go now forward in the power of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as we prepare to leave this place? And Lord, we'd ask for your blessing upon the food we are about to receive, the fellowship that we will share. Would your Holy Spirit be amongst us in our conversations and bless that time? And also, Lord, would you anoint the hands that prepared it? In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Safely, and for those of you, the rest, we'll see downstairs. You are dismissed.